Hello and welcome to the Sonic Cinema Podcast. My name is Brian Scuttle. Thank you for joining me at www.sonic-cinema.com as well as the Sonic Cinema Podcast YouTube channel. Click subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, basically any podcatcher that you listen to is always appreciated. And check me out more on the YouTube channel. You get quick take reviews. You also get all of the podcasts, as well as some other special stuff. You can also check us out at patreon.com/Sonic Cinema. There you get series like Life Soundtrack and Leaving the Collection, film festival discussion, short film discussion, Oscar discussion, and more. That is at patreon.com/Sonic Cinema. So today, This year marks the 30th anniversary of a lot of fantastic films. We already talked about one on the podcast earlier this year, The Crow. That was, which I've already talked about plenty of times, being the lightning rod discussion. This time we're going to talk about a different film. One that actually I took a little bit longer to warm up to. But now it's something where I can't imagine my life without it. And I can't imagine my life would be very different without this franchise, without this filmmaker, without these characters in my life, for a lot of reasons that we'll discuss on the podcast. My guest tonight, a returning original member of the podcast, he was somebody that we did a lot of feature-length commentaries for back in the day. We've talked a lot of Star Wars on here. We're getting away from Star Wars, but not too much, because we're talking about Kevin Smith. Please join me in welcoming back to the podcast, Ronnie Haynes. Ron, thank you very much for joining me.
Hello, Brian. Would you like a chocolate-covered pretzel?
I would not. I'm not as dense as Michael Rooker's character, Mallrats, is, thankfully. But the fact of the matter is, it's funny because of the fact that I don't know about you. It's funny because we really haven't talked about this. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the reason why I wanted to do this conversation with you. There were a lot of reasons, but this was one of the main ones. Because we never really discussed our relationship, respective relationships with Kevin Smith formed in terms of his films. If you are familiar with us as friends, we cosplayed Jane and Silent Bob several times in the early 2010s at Dragon Con, and you will find a lot of those pictures on the YouTube channel version of this podcast. And but it's funny because of the fact that part of the reason that makes this kind of an interesting one was in 1994, really kind of feels like that, for me at least, that's kind of where our friendship, at least the seeds of our friendship started.
Did it?
Because we had Spanish together.
Yeah.
And we started talking about movies.
Year?
Yeah, it was junior year.
Yeah.
We were talking about movies. We started talking about soundtracks. And then we saw a couple movies together.
Mm-hmm. We clarified this the other day. We didn't do Pulp Fiction together.
We never did Pulp Fiction together, even though I know I borrowed the soundtrack from you and made a copy of it for me because I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we never watched the first movie. It's funny, the first movie we watched together
was
freaking Disclosure. Yeah. The most random ass movie imaginable. If you know anything about our friendship, you know anything about our interests. I can't think of a more random movie for us to have had our first movie going experience.
Well, I think we were having finals.
Finals week. It was finals week. We were both getting out early, and I think we just decided to go to a movie together. And I can't remember why we chose that. But I think it was because neither of us had seen it yet. That's the only thing I can think of.
And Michael Crichton was kind of big with the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. Like, that was you know, Michael Crichton, John Grisham.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not
Yeah.
talking about them, but the fact of the matter is, it's like the 90s were very weird when it came to pop culture and what was big at that time. And Michael Crichton was one of those big names. So
Yeah.
Disclosure was certainly on people's radar.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about Clerks. We're talking about Kevin Smith. I will admit, when I first saw the original Clerks, I hated it. I was not a fan of it. And a big part of it for me was, I know, I remember my mom and I watching it when, just at home one night. And, like, it just bounced off of both of us. Like, we just did not care for whatsoever. And I think it was, I think it was the degree of the language in it. I think it was just the idea that, to a certain extent, was too vulgar. Even though, and this movie notoriously was originally rated NC-17, it was all because of language. Because there's nothing
Is that version on the X disc, the 10-year anniversary disc? Is it the NC-17? I haven't
but,
checked.
Well, the thing is, so the NC-17, they did eventually appeal it and got down to an R.
Oh, okay.
So
there
the
was
version
never, like,
that you
there was never
see,
like a trimmed down
no,
version.
There's,
that, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But so I was not a huge fan of Clerks when it came out. Was slightly more of a fan of Mallrats, but I still thought it was too stupid. It wasn't until Chasing Amy and Dogma that I'm starting to go, okay, I see kind of where he's coming from as a filmmaker. And then when Jane, Silent Bob came out, which I know you and I did see together. We saw it with a couple of other friends.
I can't remember who, but I do remember going to see that in the theater.
I think it was Dave and Fred.
Was it? It might have been. Yeah.
Because I think it was an early screening. So, but by that point, I was completely on board with Kevin Smith. So when did you first start getting into Kevin Smith?
Oh, well, I had a roommate in 2001, a buddy of mine, James, who, yes, he was a stoner, was actually pretty into Kevin Smith, from what I remember, and there was a lot of late-night movie watching going on there in the time that I was living there, and at one point, he started pointing me in the direction of, well, actually, weirdly enough, that was when I first saw Evil Dead. Back to the subject at hand, yeah, I think that's when I first remember seeing Clerks, was when I was living with my friend James in Athens. And obviously those movies are going to appeal to him. I honestly didn't get it at first either. I think what I remember my first initial reaction to the first movie being is like, wow, there's. I mean, like, I didn't appreciate it for what it was, being like the independent darling that it was. I was my first initial reaction, I remember being, wow, that was pretty amateur.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So like that was I think that's what was turning me off at first. But I mean, but then I became more familiar with the idea of and the concept of independent film.
Yeah.
And why it's important, you know, and why it matters and why a lot of these movies need to be seen. And I eventually watched it again at some point a couple of years later. I was like, oh, okay, now I think I get it.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, just talking to you about movies in general. Yeah, I know. Again, I think Sam Raimi came up a bunch, and obviously Quentin Tarantino, because he was becoming super relevant at the time. So he was at the front of the conversation a lot of time. But yeah, but then we would eventually get back to Kevin Smith, and Clerks, and Chasing Amy, and Dogma, and Mallrats, even to a degree, which I actually now have more of an appreciation for than a lot of people. I think a lot of people grow to love that movie. You know, it's just one of those movies. But Kevin Smith became a big part of the conversation between you and I, and then I don't remember whether or not Strikes Back was a early screening or not, but I don't remember that part. But I do remember going to see that with you, and then thinking it was just one of the funniest things I'd seen.
Yeah,
I don't know, in forever. And so that's pretty much when I, you know, that's pretty much when I became invested in Kevin Smith and his world and everything. Like, and then also like getting into the DVDs.
Yeah,
his DVDs are amazing.
They really are. Yeah,
like in terms of extras, in terms of commentaries, in terms of, but like I think yeah, but I yeah, I guess like when Strikes Back came out on DVD and had that amazing 2-disc special edition.
Yeah,
you know, and had all those extras. That's also at the same time when I really started getting into extras on DVDs. Period. You know, I think you got into the commentaries and the documentaries and everything, and just, oh, okay, this guy is really interesting, and I really appreciate where he's coming from, and so on and so forth, and like, you know, Slacker, you know, this, and, you know, Stoner, Slackers, you know, like, oh, they speak to me, man, you know, like that kind of bull crap, you know, just like.
Well, and it's funny because of the fact that, I mean, I think to a certain extent, I know for me, watching extras, there were times where I would almost watch Kevin Smith movies with the commentaries more than I would without.
Sure.
And
sure. I mean, that phase too.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, part of it is because of the fact I'm so familiar with the movies that it's like, or the TV show in terms of the Clerks animated series, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed listening to those. And I know when we were doing the commentaries, that's something that I wanted to do. I wanted them to be fun. I wanted them to be enjoyable in the vein of what Kevin Smith and company were doing.
Yeah. So many of the extras could be just as engaging as the movies in so many ways. So, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I think the thing that's interesting about Clerks, going back to it, you know, especially watching it 30 years removed, is that I think in it's as immature as it feels in terms of the style, in terms of the use of black and white, in terms of the dialogue.
Yeah.
It ultimately does have something to say.
Yeah.
That I think connects with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, especially people our generation, we're Gen X.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that, you know, you think about that stereotype of what Gen X, what people sold Gen X as in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think, you know, I don't know about you, but I know for me, starting to get into the workforce personally, there were certainly times where I felt like Dante or felt like Randall, where it's like, I'm not even supposed to be here today. Or, you know, just wanting to just tell off a customer because of how ridiculous they're being.
Yeah.
And
should we just make this a drinking game now? Anytime one of us says, I'm not even supposed to be there today, just take a shot at home. Just take a shot because, you know, it's, anyway. No, that's... You're very much on point with a lot of that. So, and I'm not sure how much I enjoy being stereotyped as a Gen Xer, but I guess like we get to the point where you just kind of accept it.
Well, and you know, I mean, I know it's something that it's kind of taken me a long time to sort of accept that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because I've never really, because of the fact that most of the Gen X movies were about people who were slightly older than us, on the older side of Gen X, it's hard to see it was hard for me for a while to see a connection with the older generation of Gen X. And now, looking at removed from like 20, 30 years, I kind of, I get it. I do kind of understand it. And I do kind of see where they're, times in my life where I've lived that cliche to a certain extent.
Sure.
I've felt that cliche in my bones of like, oh, what am I doing here? What I feel like I should be doing this, but I'm not doing this. Now I want to be doing something else. But it's fascinating. And you know, I think part of the reason why I've endeared to Clerks a little bit more.
How long did you work at Regal, Brian?
Almost 22 years. But I mean, at least... But the thing is, here's the thing I will say.
Yeah.
Even...
I'm not going to... Look how long I've been at some of my shitty jobs. So,
but... Well, I mean... But I... To be fair, Regal led me to the job that I'm at
now.
Yeah, no, which
I love. Absolutely. And you're really happy.
And the thing is, it's like I loved working at Regal for a long time. Sure. I didn't hate it.
Right.
The last few years of my time at Regal are another story entirely, mm-hmm. but which I think I've gone through in other podcasts. But the fact of the matter is, it's like when you feel like you're stuck mm-hmm. in a job, when you feel like, you know, and to a certain extent, I mean,
being
even
triggered.
Yeah, right. exactly. But I mean, the thing is, it's like, I know early on in my time at Regal, I definitely felt stuck because of the fact that it's like, even though I was getting into management, projection, stuff like that, mm-hmm. I still felt like there was something else I needed to be doing with my life. And I mean, that was right around the time Clerks 2 came out. I know you've always
that's my favorite Kevin Smith.
Yeah, movie. And I feel like you've always been more of a fan of Clerks 2 than I have.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like
it's his best movie.
We'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
I mean, I think that really I think one of the things that's really interesting about these movies, especially thinking about on the other side of Regal for me, I see how each movie sort of relates to a time in my life where I was at Regal. Yeah. And it's weird because of the fact that it's like, so that, you know, that, and I think that's where my awareness of myself as being Gen X mm-hmm. has come more and more to play because of the fact that Clerks, I think, is one of the better representations of Gen X in a large degree. And I think especially once you get into Clerks 2, once you get into Clerks 3, you definitely feel that more and more. Mm-hmm. The older they get, the more we understand where they're coming, how their life has gone. Mm-hmm. It just really resonates with us where it's like, wow, I feel this in my bones. Like, mm-hmm. even if the jokes aren't as hilarious as they used to be, there's a sincerity to them that I think holds up extremely well.
Yeah. Well, talking about sincerity as movies have gone on, I'm like, I just actually remember like walking out of Jane Silent Bob reboot and saying certain things like, there's a lot of crying there for Kevin Smith. and then I watched Clerks 3. I was like, there's a lot of crying in that for Clerks. I was like, yeah, Kevin Smith is definitely getting more sentimental as he goes on, I think. Like,
yeah.
And like I'm not sure what to make of that other than like it is what it is, and it's like it's a choice, it's a direction to take these characters in that does mostly make sense.
Yeah.
But also the other thing was like, I mean, I was watching Clerk, I this past week I watched Clerks 1 and Clerks 3 for kind of like homework, and I watch Clerks 2 like all the time. It's one of my comfort movies. It's basically one of my very favorite comfort movies. So I watch that all the time but I was watching 1 and 3 for some catch up this week, and I was like, I mean, 3 is, I don't know, like there's some aspects of 3 that feel a little lazy, a little like,
yeah.
Like there's parts of it feel like it's being shot more like a TV show than a movie necessarily. I think like, again, like I don't know. I watch Clerks 2. I see passion behind a lot of,
right.
Like, a lot of the movie. And the thing is with Clerks 3, there did end up being a story to tell.
Yeah.
I felt like, yeah, there, I mean, that's the thing that, There was a reason to spend more time with these characters. I was skeptical going into Clerks 3 because again I loved Clerks 2 so much, and I thought that was like the perfect ending for those characters.
Yeah.
And then like, but then like, oh, Clerks 3, really, really, Kev?
Well, really? I mean,
and but like, but then I watched it. Or no, I think the first trailer did sell me on. I was like, oh, okay, that is actually a not terrible idea for a premise for Clerks 3.
Yeah.
You had something to say, I think.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, let's put into context the era, the mindset that Kevin Smith was no doubt in when he did Clerks 3.
Well, he just had a heart
he was
attack.
Coming off of a heart attack that very nearly killed him.
Yeah.
Basically had to completely transform his life.
Yes.
And lost in a way, lost a shit ton of weight.
Yeah.
Had to went vegan, just changed his entire life.
Yeah.
Because of this just amazing... I don't want to say a near-death experience is amazing because as somebody who's lived through one, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a wake-up call.
Sure.
And even if you don't necessarily get that what that call was supposed to be early on, it's going to come at you. I mean, I think that is one of the things that I like so much about Clerks 3. It took me a couple of years to watch it. Not because I wasn't interested, but because I wanted to watch it in context of Clerks 1 and Clerks 2. And it had been a while since I'd watched those two. So I eventually decided to wait until I was prepping for this episode to watch Clerks 3. And I know... there are a lot of choices we've talked about that I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Where did they make this? Why did they make this choice?
Yeah.
But, and I think, you know.
Should we just spoil it?
We can. Because, yeah. I mean, it's a two-year-old movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been out for 2 years.
Yeah, and anyone who listens to this is gonna be familiar with them, so yeah.
Yeah.
It starts out with Becky having been killed in a drunk driving accident, and I think the baby too, I guess, right? But Dante and his baby.
So the thing that
was she pregnant with the baby when
she was?
Okay,
yeah, because that is one of the key points in the third act of Clerks 2, is that she's pregnant.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, was she pregnant?
And that was pregnant with Dante's kid.
Was she pregnant though at the time of the drunk driving act?
That's the impression I got.
Yeah,
in the film. I got that impression that it's like...
Yeah, I wasn't sure about
okay.
that.
Okay, because, I mean, obviously we never see him taking care of a child.
No, exactly.
So
exactly.
It had to have been... So that's one of the things that jarred me so much about it. The fact that Becky was dead right off the bat. It's like, what?
That's a choice, yeah.
I mean, it's like... So, and it seems to me, so obviously that happened very soon after...
Clerks 2.
The end of Clerks 2.
Yeah.
And so it's like, wow, that's quite a choice. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Exactly.
I will say I love the use of the My Chemical Romance song at the beginning. I think it's very appropriate for the type of tone that he's setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense in the context of that list at the beginning. But at the same time, I'm like, really? This is... But as the film goes on, it ultimately becomes more of a Randall story. Because Randall's the one with the heart attack.
Yes.
He's the one who has the heart attack. And there are times as that sequence is going on where it's like, why are you making... Like, Kevin Smith clearly went through a serious situation, but he's making it kind of ridiculous in the way he's wearing Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Because Randall's almost like offering color commentary on it. And as it's going, it's like, what are you doing here, Kevin?
No, I actually appreciated like I'm just going back to when the first trailer dropped. You know, that's actually when I became very sold on the idea of a Clerks 3. I was like, okay, so this starts off with Randall having a heart attack. Then he decides he wants to make a movie.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I was like, I get it. It's meta, and I think that's actually... It felt ultimately like a good excuse to make a Clerks 3.
Yeah.
I appreciate where he was coming from. I appreciated... The context that was put in.
I think the meta aspect of them making a movie together, them making essentially Clerks.
Yes, yeah.
That's the movie they're making. That's funny.
Yeah.
The sense that they're essentially making Clerks works for me.
Yeah.
I like the idea where it's like Randall has this epiphany where it's like he wants
to be Kevin Smith.
Well, he wants to feel like he's leaving something behind.
Yeah.
And I know for me that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me over the years, as you know, I've certainly dealt with my own mortality. I've certainly dealt with other people's mortality, mm-hmm. in terms of loved ones. And it's, yeah. And I know for me, one of the things that I want to do is to feel like I'm leaving back behind something of myself. Because, I mean, I, you know, if you know me, you know I do not have kids. Mm-hmm. So it's basically just what I leave behind when it comes to sonic cinema, when it comes to music, when it comes to all of that. That's, for me, that's, and what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason I love the idea of having a conversation like this with you, is because of the fact that this is part of, like, we, as much as we love talking about Star Wars, as much mm-hmm. as we've talked about Star Wars over the years, that's not just the only thing that our friendship is predicated on. That's mm-hmm. not the only mm-hmm. thing that our shared love of movies is predicated on. Mm-hmm. There's also the Kevin Smith thing. And mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, when we went to go see Kevin Smith stand up,
yeah.
and he was talking about his podcast,
yeah.
that's where that's where I decided I wanted to transition to podcasting.
Yeah.
So again, another reason to talk about Kevin Smith on this. Mm-hmm. And
did he answer like 3 questions though?
I think so, but I mean, honestly,
it was supposed to be kind of a Q&A, wasn't it?
And a little bit, but I mean, at the same time.
I just thought it was funny, because it was supposed to be kind of like one of those nights with Kevin Smith sort
yeah.
of things. Also kind of stand-up, also kind of Q&A.
Yeah.
And, like, I think he ended up answering, like, 3 or 4 questions the whole night, because, like, because he could just go on and on and on and on.
Oh, yeah, but I still absolutely loved it.
I did too. I just found that funny. They're like, at the end of that, I was like, he answered like 3 questions.
Yeah.
But no, it was a great, because that was another night we cosplayed as Jay and Bob.
Yeah.
And I think at one point when he was like walking out, like shaking everyone's hand, he gave me like a double take. I was like, what?
Yeah, because he walked out like right down our row,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And
I shook his hand and he's like, what the fuck?
But no, I mean, the idea of him making a movie about making Clerks mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you do feel in a big way, I do think there, even though the choice of Becky being dead at the beginning is very mm-hmm. jarring.
Yeah.
He makes so many choices throughout the rest of the film mm-hmm. that truly make you feel like this whole thing is coming full circle.
Yes, and then as we discussed the other day, Becky being dead at the beginning does help the ending.
It does. It does, very much so.
For another reason that's very spoilery.
Yeah.
But, and I guess we can go into that now, that like Dante is the one who ends up dying at the end of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like, yeah, I another one of those things that you're not sure about at first, but after it resonating with you, and after, like, you know, processing the, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the thing that I think part of the reason so much of this, where it's like, so much of why we're like, well, I'm not sure how I feel about
yeah.
this, is because regardless
holy
of
shit,
anything,
we're their age.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, yeah. there's that, but
holy shit, I could die of a heart attack.
No, I think so much of a big part of that is when you think about the first 2 Clerks, mm-hmm. Dante's the main character. I mean, yes, it's Dante and Randall's story, but Dante is our main character into these stories.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one we're following into these stories. The fact that so much of Clerks 3 is about Randall
mm-hmm.
is like, that's such a weird
yeah.
move. But as you said, it ends up working well in the end. And I think, you know, and the thing is, it's like, I think, you know, Dante and Randall have this great moment at the end of Clerks 2 when they're, after they're in jail because of the donkey show and all of that stuff. But he has this big moment of, Randall has this big moment where he basically tells Dante he loves him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with my life if you're not here? Because Dante was supposed to go off to Florida with Emma, his fiance. And it's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with my life? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was a startling moment because it was arguably the most sincere their relationship had gotten at that point.
Yeah.
But it works so well because of the fact that it's like you do really start to see Randall as a character who's not just being a smartass, getting them in trouble with his mouth. In his choices.
Yeah.
And he, because for so much of the first two movies, Dante is the straightforward one, and mm-hmm. Randall trying to do everything by the book, or at least reasonably by the book.
Mm-hmm.
And Randall's the one who, he's going to cut corners.
Yeah.
And, you know, such as, you know, selling cigarettes to a five-year-old in the first Clerks. But then you have this moment with Randall where it's like, dude, what am I supposed to do without you? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love
that emotional scene. I think works better than a lot of emotional scenes in 3. I think like that's, you know, like,
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
But it's very organic and it's very.
And I think part of the reason it works so much better that does in some of those scenes in 3 is because it feels like in so much of 3
mm-hmm.
that Randall's kind of backslid.
Yeah.
Into how he feels about Dante. And it's like, it feels like going back to the original Clerks.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. And the cartoon.
Yeah.
But.
Randall gives Dante so much shit in the cartoon.
Oh, God, yeah. But it's still hilarious.
It's still hilarious
the way he does it.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, I think that is. That's one of the things that was most striking to me, where it's like the fact that Kevin Smith was able to stick the landing in 3 as well as he did.
Mm-hmm.
That he got Randall to a point where he realized I'm completely undervaluing Dante.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he shows him the movie and it's obviously the first Clerks and stuff like that. And
you're the Luke Skywalker of my story.
But it's and I mean Brian O'Hara and Jeff Anderson are always a treat in these roles. I mean they really are.
Yeah.
They have moments that just absolutely make me laugh my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly.
And some of the conversation too are particularly just so I'm not gonna repeat any of the things they say because it's like I don't want to be canceled.
The one scene is where he's trying to reclaim a certain racial slur is I'm like. That is completely a Randall thing to do. It's completely a Randall thing
to
do.
Okay, I'm taking it back.
It's like, and but the thing is, it's like that. I think the reason 2 works so well is because you have all of these celebrities and stuff like that that are playing the customers.
That 30-second Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck, Jason Lee, and Wanda Sykes as the wife in that scene.
Yeah. I'm willing to repeat.
Yeah.
They're still pretty bad.
They're still rough, but, yeah. But no, I mean, and the fact that, but I mean, we've also got to talk about, as far as
Clark,
we've also got to talk about Elias.
I love Elias.
I love how he's the prototypical virgin geek in
fact,
two.
Based, because the thing is, I love Elias because I was basically Elias for I was pretty much Elias in like my late teens, early 20s.
I think a lot of us were. Yeah. I certainly was too.
Yeah,
to a certain
yeah,
extent.
Yeah.
Because I was involved in the religious stuff.
I was involved in a youth group. I got sucked into that stuff too. So I'm like, that's the thing. And now I'm an atheist, but that's beside the point. That's a whole other discussion. But,
right.
Yeah, but like he's basically my favorite character in two, I think. And
yeah.
Just, yeah.
Well, and the thing is, it gives Randall another punching bag to take things off of Dante.
Mr. Dante.
And I feel like that joke goes back to the animated series to a certain extent, because there's one episode where Jay is constantly calling him Mr. Dante. But Elias is absolutely hilarious, and I love what they do with him in three. Where
what do they do with him in three?
he basically has a crisis of faith.
Yeah.
When he doesn't feel like his prayers for Randall are coming on deaf ears.
Yeah, exactly.
Becomes
a born again Satanist.
Yeah.
Hail Satan.
And he's into crypto, and it's like, yeah, he's about the worst. I still love him as a character, but he's arguably the worst version of that type of character.
Yeah.
But I think one of my absolute favorite lines that Elias has is in three, where he says the Lord Holy Ghost me. It's like when his prayer, he doesn't feel like his prayers for Randall are answered, which is part of where he leads to Satanism.
Yeah.
But
Elias.
But the thing is, it still feels like as insane of a choice as it is, you understand the logic of why that character makes that choice. And it's stupid, but it's still hilarious. And I mean, no, he's absolutely fantastic. And you know,
what did you think of that scene in three where they're like trying out and like Sarah Michelle Gellar pops up, Freddie Prinze Jr. Pops up, Ben Affleck pops up. Like, did that feel gratuitous to you, or like?
I mean, a little bit,
yeah,
a little bit, because of the fact that it's like, what are we doing? Yeah. I mean,
these are all the celebrity friends he's made, like you know,
yeah, exactly,
like doing Master of the Universe and whatnot,
yeah.
his other projects, but. Did that feel gratuitous to you?
It's a bit over the top. It didn't really do.
Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen pops up.
I mean, I will admit some of the line readings were really funny.
Yeah.
Of like some of the lines that we've known forever.
Yeah.
And then they end up just going with Dante, Randall, Jay, and Silent Bob, even though like all of them are 30 years older.
Yeah.
And so like, how is this going to work? It's like, but...
Silent Bob, you rude motherfucker! But you're cute as hell.
Silent Bob being the cinematographer is the funniest part. The fact that and his monologue in this movie being about the black and white photography.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, I think he's been waiting about 30 years to...
Exactly.
...to put that in a movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny because of the fact that it's like, obviously, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is also about making a movie about Blunt Man and Chronic, which is Jay and Silent Bob. But this is the fact that he made a movie that's a little bit more meta about that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's weird. I mean, I do really like Clerks 3, though. I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
It
ends up being a really solid companion piece to the first two movies.
Yeah, it does. But it does bring everything full circle.
Yeah.
And
until the next movie that Kevin Smith. Okay, this is my last movie with these characters ever. It's going to bring everything full circle. And then,
which is funny because Jay and Silent Bob was supposed to be that.
Yes.
Like, and then he's like, Jersey Girl fails, and then it's like, well, it looks like I got to go back to the well.
Exactly.
But I mean, Clerks 2, it's funny because of the fact that I do think Clerks 2... I know Jersey Girl gets a lot of crap, and I've always thought it was kind of underrated. But I do like that Clerks 2 kind of progresses in the same fashion of a certain narrative maturity as he was working in with Jersey Girl, with Dogma, with Chasing Amy. And so the fact that he found a way to progress with that. I mean, I think Clerks 3 was something where it's like he just. I think he, again, he. I think, he'd wanted to make the movie about a decade ago. And then apparently Jeff Anderson just wasn't a huge fan of the script. They have falling out.
Did they
And
have falling out? Because like
they had a little bit of a falling out, is what my
I
understanding.
heard. I mean, well, we discussed it the other day. I thought I heard that like Jeff Anderson just didn't want to act anymore.
I think that was probably part of it, but I think another part was he was not happy with the direction of the script. And so after they reconciled and started again, that's kind of the direction that what we've seen Clerks 3 is kind of the direction that went in. And it's like then you have Kevin Smith's heart attack, which happened in 2018, so it's like that fits into it. I mean, I do think it was an interesting choice to make it that way. It still was a very interesting choice. I still think it ultimately makes a very good choice, but because there are some very funny things in this, there are also some very sincere things in it. But I mean, it also feels like something that it did take a long birth because of the fact that it's like, some of these ideas probably were ideas he had early on that he still wanted to keep hold of, but he wasn't quite sure the best way to execute them. And
What was the budget for Clerks 3?
that's a good
Because
question.
I know Clerks 2 was 5 million. I
Yeah.
know that much. What Clerks 1 was like 130,000?
Yeah, it was. No, it was 27,000.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
it
was like
was.
I was
No, it was 27,000. It
Okay,
was low.
got it. Yeah. Well, yeah. And then
Yeah.
Clerks 2 is 5 million.
Clerks 3, so Clerks 3 was 7 million.
Okay.
So, but I mean, you have to.
That goes back to like my technical issues with Clerks 3 and a lot of it feeling like it was shot like a TV show and not yeah, like it felt like a step back technically speaking for
Yeah.
me anyway.
I can see that.
Yeah, but
I can see that.
cuz yeah, I mean cuz yeah, I just think Clerks 2 is so solid and just
Yeah.
such a perfect movie in so many ways. Yeah, I don't know. But I really did enjoy revisiting those movies this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, did you see my Ronnie is watching Clerks post and it's all it is a picture of 37 ? Did you not see
I
that?
think I'd miss that.
Okay.
I was busy this past
Heather
week,
was
but
the
I
only
was
one that
working.
reacted to it.
I had to have missed it
Yeah.
because of the
I was like,
fact that.
you would have liked that if you'd seen it, I would thought.
Oh yeah, I would have. I don't know how I. Well,
Okay.
I know how I missed it. I was
Yeah, because
busy at
you're,
work,
yeah, okay.
but
But then, yeah, so. Yeah, I love. Let's see, it's been a while since I've watched the animated series, but, like, I loved the one episode that stands out the most is, like, the one where they're kind of lampooning Duck Amuck.
yeah.
And at the end, it's instead of Bugs Bunny being the air is Jay and Bob. They're like,
Yeah.
"Ain't I a stinko?" That kind of like shows where the cartoon could have gone if they'd really given it a chance. But of course, they
Yeah.
didn't. We all, I mean, yeah. So
They talk about it as much as they can on the
commentaries.
commentaries. And no, I mean, the thing that I enjoy about the animated series is the fact that it plays to some of the more entertaining aspects of Clerks, the dialogue, but also understands that it's a cartoon series, so it's completely ridiculous. Like you have sequences where you have a movie that's set in, you have an episode that's set in a courtroom, you have a scene, you have an episode
Well,
that's basically lampooning Outbreak.
Oh,
Then you
yeah.
have the one that's lampooning Temple of Doom, Bad News Bears, Last Starfighter,
Exactly,
and
yeah.
then of course you have the last one, which is Duck Amuck.
Yeah. Well, did I love? Well, didn't the courtroom one? Oh, that's the one that was. It's like finished with like Korean anime.
Yeah.
My God, Bear's driving. But that's also the one where Randall makes George Lucas give him his money back for Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Spike Lee, Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
And I know in the commentary some people said the last one should have been Kevin Smith. But no, I mean,
oh my God, Barry's driving.
I took so many notes during this one. I took so many notes during these three. Especially with Clerks, after almost three decades myself in customer service, I completely understood. I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. It's like, I completely understand where these characters are coming from,
mm-hmm.
and their frustration with customers.
Sure.
And it's like, I definitely understand that. One of the things that I love and one of the things I made point of, the movie is nominally set in the early 90s, so 93, mm-hmm. 94. And I love that it is a controversial opinion at that time that Empire Strikes Back is a better film than Return of the Jedi. Right. I do love that. It's like, remember how innocent Star Wars fandom was when that was the most controversial thing?
Oh my God.
That it was that Empire, which one you like better, Empire or Jedi?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the Ewoks? Remember when that was the most controversial aspect of Star Wars? Or the most controversial thing fans would get into?
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to mention the Death Star contractor scene. And
and Jedi being a bunch of Muppets.
Yeah. The Ewoks being a bunch of Muppets.
Yeah.
It's funny. They don't really talk about the prequels in 2.
No, they don't.
And that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing.
They're too busy letting Randall rip on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. it's like...
That conversation with the customer and Randall and Elias...
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
A lot of stuff I'm not going to repeat here.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Even though, I know a lot of us, even before that movie came out... Like, had the exact same thoughts that Randall had about that scene at Rivendell.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, look, doesn't Kevin Smith didn't like Lord of the Rings, I don't think. Like, I saw him on a talk show where he, like, basically said he did not like those. He did not care for those movies.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, sells whether or not it's a joke or not. I guess he really, but, like, that's also where... One of my very favorite lines in movie history comes from is "There's only one return in Aid of the King; it's of the Jedi."
Yeah,
so, that's one of my lines right there. That's one of my favorite lines ever.
Yeah, no, and the back and forth he and Elias and the customer have—that's absolutely true. And his reenactment of the movies, where he's like, "Movie one,
here's the first movie.
Here's the second movie." And it's hilarious, and as far as 2, you're definitely right about having a bigger budget because there's a freaking musical sequence in this movie.
Yeah,
and
I love the dance scene. I love that.
Yeah,
I love
there's
that
a
so
dance
much.
Sequence in this movie.
I love that so.
It's
love
like,
that part so
oh
much.
My God,
I'm smiling from ear to ear on that part. Like I love it. Like, yeah.
I mean, it's something that you couldn't have
it's
done.
So pure. It's so pure. It is.
And so there's a sincerity to Clerks 2 that I love.
Yeah.
That is, the thing is, it's like, I think it also goes to, there's something about the first Clerks 2 that is sincere, but in its own raucous way, mm-hmm. right? Because of the fact that, we do come to empathize with Dante and Randall. Mm-hmm. We do kind of appreciate where they're coming from when it comes to, the customers that the experiences, the life that they're in.
Yeah.
As outrageous as it gets, uh-huh. Whether it's the funeral, that we don't see.
Yeah.
And we, and the aftermath of that, or things with Caitlin, the 37. And yeah, it's like,
with,
in a row?
With, not Caitlin, but,
Veronica.
Veronica.
Yeah.
In a row.
but yeah, I mean, there's, you know, and I, the gum rep,
yeah,
becoming an anti-smoking person. And it's just such a ridiculous set of asides,
mm-hmm,
that is just absolutely wonderful, where it's like, now that I'm like, I appreciate where the language fits into that movie,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't feel gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this is really this is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that was my issue with the beginning. The first time I saw it was, why does it have to be this vulgar?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be this vulgar? I mean, granted, I'd already seen Pulp Fiction by that point, mm-hmm, but it's like, that I at least understood why it was as vulgar as it was. But it's like,
yeah,
why does Clerks have to be this vulgar? It's like, what's the point of it?
Mm-hmm.
The point is, it's hilarious. And, you know, and the thing is, it's like, once, and I was not in customer service at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm in, now that I've been in customer service, I get it. It's like, you know what?
Oh, I get it.
You realize what joy it would be to actually tell customers? It's like, yeah, no, no, get away. But,
you may fuck off in that direction.
Definitely being in a video store, like, yeah, was not the same as Randall was.
Mm-hmm.
Was not quite the same thing. You know, you didn't, yeah, really get, no, I mean, granted,
we basically had that video store, like, right up the street that didn't, 4-star video.
That was, oh, yeah,
basically RST video.
Everybody, yeah, I mean, everybody had that type of video store at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I would go to, like, Blockbuster, or, you know, Video Wonderland was, like, up the road at where I worked for a couple of, you know, for a couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I remember video stores like that.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, like, yeah, it's basically one of those things where it's like, okay, it's that's
with the room in the back with all the dirty movies.
Oh yeah. I mean, that is it's, even if you didn't go in there,
you knew what was
there. You knew what was there.
Behind the curtain.
Yeah, you knew what was there. It's like, you would, because it, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it wouldn't, it's not like it's a blackout curtain or something like that. Sometimes it would be just be beads or something like that. And it's like, you could clearly see something on the other side. So it's like, what's the point of this? But I love Randall making the video purchase order and, like, just, yeah, all of the titles.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Well, it's, you want Happy Scrappy Pup? Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my God. And they recreate that scene in 2 and 3, and it's like, she wanted to do it as Lucy. I don't get it.
Oh, and it's funny because of the fact that, I mean, we haven't talked about Jay and Bob yet.
Which is weird
much.
Because...
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Here's the thing. I want to apologize now because back in the matter is, we almost went to the... Well, that's the thing. Like, Kevin Smith was doing Reboot as a road show. Sort,
yeah,
of thing. And we went to that. And we were going to go as Jay and Bob. I was in a really shitty mood.
Yeah.
I was in a horrible headspace, period. And I shot that idea down, like, the day of. And I'm apologizing. Basically apologizing on your podcast for that now. Because, like, I do feel... Because the fact of the matter is, if we got into that as Jay and Bob, we would have been fucking rock stars.
Oh, yeah.
We would have, yeah.
I mean, I think I still more or less... I think I did everything but the... I think I did everything but the wig.
Yeah.
I think I still did the jacket.
Did you?
I might have still done the jacket.
I definitely wore the hat. But, like, this thing, like, if,
but
if
the movie's
got,
hat.
If we got in full cosplay, we would have been rock stars then.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you know, I...
Not like how we were... This thing, like, because the first year we did Jay and Bob at Dragon Con, it was not, like, necessarily... It wasn't really movie accurate costume. It wasn't really a movie accurate cosplay. But when we decided to stand in front of the convenience store, people fucking got it.
Yes.
And people ate that shit up. They were like,
my favorite, like, we spent like all of Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
All of Sunday morning and afternoon out there. And it was the most delightful thing ever.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that
you were rock stars that day.
We truly were.
Yeah.
And I mean, and to your point, they weren't costume accurate. Like
they weren't
movie accurate, but they were close enough.
But then when we like stood in front of the car.
My favorite thing, I still remember. I still have core memories of people walking down the hill to the Sheridan. They would look over because the thing is, so the liquor store that was across the street from the Sheridan, it's not there anymore. It's brick. It's like
bullshit.
No. A piece of me died when that happened. Yeah. When it was perfect for what the beginning of the quick stop looks like.
Yeah.
It was absolutely perfect.
Now, did we ever agree on whether or not we came up with the idea together, or like, because I know we were just walking around downtown, and I think I want to say we came up with the idea together.
I think it was I'm willing to just say it's a mutual idea.
Yeah.
I think early on I was like, oh no, I had the idea, but no, you definitely had a big part to play in that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say it's a mutual idea.
Sure.
So one of my favorite moments was us just sitting out there, mm-hmm. and people would be walking down to the Sheridan, and they would take a glance, and then some people would look back or go back. It would click with them. It's like, okay. It may not have been movie accurate.
Yeah.
It was accurate enough
to
where people got it. It's
like, yes. And then the following year, the cosplay was more movie accurate.
Yeah. And we did it like three. Ended up doing it like the entire weekend, too.
Yeah.
Because I think we
and people loved it. And it was
We did. Well, I remember, I think we went to the bunny hutch at the pool that Friday. Saturday afternoon, we did Jane Bob, and that's where we did a lot of our, you know, we did most of our doing panels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, we did a lot of the hanging around at the liquor store and stuff like that. And we actually got a great picture with Mike Reese, one of the writers of The Simpsons.
Oh, yes.
Because we were at that panel, and he's like, I've got a picture with us.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Yes.
But, no, I mean, it was, you know, and the thing is, it's like, I think if you told me when I was watching these movies for the first time that I would be part of a cosplay involving two drug dealers, I never would have believed you. But the thing is, it's like, so I've certainly had plenty of people at the time say that I look like Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I looked more like heavier Kevin Smith at the time. I've thankfully lost some weight myself. But at the same time, I mean, I still, you know, if I do the beard right, I do everything right. It's like I still look like
the way
Kevin Smith.
The hat and everything.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
And everything. Yeah,
I
weirdly get told I look. It's like I see the Jason Mewes in me. I was like
that's the thing. It's like
I never agreed with it, but yeah.
I mean, you know, but the thing is, it's like when you had the wig on and the hat on, it worked.
And the jacket and everything.
You could see it more. I mean, if you're just you, it doesn't really register. But because of the fact that we ended up, especially the wigs were the most important part of that part for us getting it right.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the jackets right. We got all of that right as much as we could. The next time we did it, And but the thing is, it's like the wigs were everything.
Yeah.
And it's like once we got those the correct wigs for that, it's like we were.
Didn't
we
Heather
were
and I buy the wig for you separately? Like you weren't like didn't we buy that for you?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We were Halloween.
Because you were, because I think you were.
Heather and I were like Halloween shopping. We were just like.
Yeah, you guys, you ended up getting both of the wigs.
Yes, yes, yes.
And yeah, it just happened to work out perfectly because the length of the hair was right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long. Mm-hmm. And I mean, granted, it had like the mullet on the sides, but it's like.
Who got you that hat?
That was you.
Thank you.
It was you. And the hat that I'm actually wearing tonight.
We ordered it directly from Jane Silent Bob's Secret Stash in New Jersey, yo.
Yeah.
I talked to one of the guys that I think ended up being on Comic Book Men, I think on the phone when I like just placed the order. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can I order movies hat for my friend? Because it's his birthday and we're going to cosplay as Jane and Bob's. Oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah. I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the guys who ended up eventually. This was years before Comic Book Men. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I'm very happy to see you still wearing it all these years later.
Yeah. No, I knew I wanted to wear it for this record. I mean, I wasn't going to do the full cosplay because this is video. It's like, yeah, no. I'm not doing that for audio only.
Exactly.
But I did want to at least wear it.
We should find an excuse to cosplay, full cosplay at some point.
I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny because of the fact that for a couple of years I've done cosplay as Buster Keaton at DragonCon. And it makes sense that clearly I resonate with people who don't talk a whole lot. I mean, you know, which is hugely ironic given the fact that I've got podcasts. But if I didn't talk on podcasts, we'd be boring as hell. But no, I mean, we have to talk about Jay and Silent Bob at this point.
How
can you not?
Yeah.
I mean, they're... It's funny because of the fact that it's like... They're the people... They're arguably the next big main characters in these movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's touched on Clerks 3, but like... It more so as a joke than anything else, where like they basically say... Jay and Bob were the R2-D2 and C-3PO of these two universe. They
very much are. Yeah. No, I mean, that is... And the funny thing is, it's like you do get... It's funny because you and I have talked about how we kind of embodied that dynamic.
Yeah.
And we played into it.
That one picture particularly.
Oh, there are some fantastic pictures.
That one selfie I took in the hotel room.
Yeah.
That's my favorite picture of you and me.
Yeah.
It's like it's both very much you and me, and it's also very much Jay and Bob. It's just like it's perfect. Yeah.
No, I mean we definitely fit the dynamic between Jay and Bob. But, yeah. I mean, you do really understand, you do really see the R2-D2 and C-3PO aspect in there, too.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, you know, C-3PO is not as vulgar as Jay is, but, you know, Silent Bob's the one who gets shit done.
Yeah.
I mean...
yeah.
But, yeah. No,
he saves everyone from the poop monster with the...
The air freshener or something like that. Yeah. God, I love Dogma. Listen to my Class of 99 episode with Stuart Delaney. That was a trip to talk about that with him.
Mm-hmm.
Dogma's from theological standpoint.
Dogma is my second favorite Kevin Smith movie, and then James Allen Bob's. So that's my top three. Clerks 2, Dogma, and then James Allen Bob's.
I think Dogma is still his best movie, but I'm definitely willing to make a case for Clerks 2 being up there as well.
I think Kevin Smith had just as much to say with Clerks 2 as he did with Dogma.
He absolutely did.
He had just as much to say in Clerks 2 as he did with Dogma. He had just as much to say about, you know, that lifestyle as he did about religion and dogma.
Yeah.
You know,
And the thing is, it's like, I think it's weird to see how the characters of Jay and Bob evolve in these movies too,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're basically just on the sideline. They're here to, you know, just torment Jay and Bob or Dante Randall.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, they're here just to do shit and be silly in the first one, and then you see the growth in them in Clerks 2, where Jay's gotten sober, which is reflective.
Yeah, but he's still
a drug dealer, but he's gotten sober. Which is reflective of Jason Mewes.
Mewes getting sober. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And
fuck. Anyway,
and of course he calls it, and he's found religion.
Yeah,
with the holy fucking Bible. you know,
the fucking Bible. Hey, the holy fucking Bible.
And the fact that they have it, what's wild is they end up having all of the money that gets them the quick stop in the video store again at the end. Which, I mean,
I love how that worked out. I just love
I do too. Yeah, that, it's great because of the fact that it also ties into Jane, Silent and Bob Strike Back.
Yeah,
because of the fact that chances are
your motherfucking movie check.
Yeah, that's how they have that money, and also they've like been able to make peace with Dante and Randall after having restraining orders gotten against them.
Yes.
In Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
And then their weed dealer, and then they're running a weed store where the video store was in the third one, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah. Now, I love the evolution of these characters in these three movies. But I mean, even in the non-Clerks movies,
have you seen the trailer, or was some sort of ad for 4:30 movie, which looks good. But I was gonna say, like, it's like from the writer and director of Dogma, Chasing Amy, Clerks 1, Clerks 2, Clerks 3, and then goes and probably Clerks 4. Did you see that?
No, I have not seen that. I hope I get a chance to see that movie soon. I do want to see it, especially finally watching Clerks 3, because honestly, like, I mean, I do like Tusk to a certain extent, but it's just really messed up.
I still haven't seen Tusk. I'm not sure.
I'm not a fan of Yoga Hosers, which I know we watched together.
That was
the
movie,
and I wasn't a fan. We both thought Reboot was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah. I was like, that's when it started to like dawn on me that Kevin Smith might be.
I mean, having finally watched Clerks 3, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He still has something to say. So it's like, okay, I'm curious to. And I mean, I will say, it's like, that's.
Zach and Mary is a really good, is a really solid non.
I enjoyed it, which is another one we saw together.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
Arguably one of his more. I haven't seen Tusk. I haven't seen. I saw Jersey Girl like once years and years ago. Very, you know, So I haven't seen too much of his stuff outside of those characters, but no, Zach and Mary is very solid.
Did you see Cop Out?
No, I never did.
It's okay.
I never heard a good thing about that thing.
It's okay, but it's like, yeah, you can tell he's kind of out of his element in this one.
Yeah, well, I know Bruce Willis gave him a ton of.
Oh yeah, well, because of the fact that he's admitted that.
Yeah,
like I did not handle that as well as I should have.
No, yeah, exactly.
You know, but you know, I'm certainly, you know, it's like, yeah, I know that Kevin Smith has gone record and he's said that it's like, yeah, I didn't handle things as well as I should have on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's got some decent moments, but it's like it's. Really.
Yeah,
you're not missing much.
I didn't think I was. That's why I never like went to see it. You know. So, and again, I never saw Tusk because I'm just not into body horror. I'm not into like torture porn. You know, it's like I'm not into that.
It's definitely closer to body horror than it is torture porn.
Yeah.
It does have a lot of dark comedy in it.
It's just that sort of thing just isn't for me. So
if he ever makes Moose Jaws, I would say maybe check it out.
Yeah.
Wasn't it
supposed to have Jay and Bob in it to a degree? I thought.
I think so.
Because like at that stand up thing, he said he was riding Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
He talks about riding Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
And he reads a scene that presumably has Jay and Bob in it. I remember that. I remember that much. He read a scene written off of his phone that had Jay and Silent, like.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember what roles they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I think it was going to be Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I'm trying to figure out the Jaws correlation.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Because I remember that there was
supposed to be Brody. Who would be? Yeah.
I mean, it would be hilarious if they were like Quentin and his partner.
Yeah.
Like that would be hilarious if Jay and Bob were those characters.
Yeah.
But But no, I mean, that's if that movie ever comes out, I definitely want to see it because of the fact that it's ridiculous. But God, there are so many things.
We got off track, Brian.
But I mean, we're still talking about Kevin Smith. Yes. We're still talking about Clerks.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, and especially with Jay and Silent Bob, we can't not talk about our cosplay of it.
Yeah.
Of them. And I mean, I think, you know, this is, I mean, when you talk about Kevin Smith, when you talk about the Clerks movies, you can't not talk about Kevin Smith's career as a whole because so much of it is bookended with the Vuce universe and with the Clerks characters. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense that we're bringing up all of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's also just an appreciation of Kevin Smith in general. And the thing is, it's like, if you told me in 1994 that he was going to influence me as a critic and as a film person discussing film, I would not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I would not believe it at all. But the fact of the matter is, it feels very natural to a certain extent, how my life has gone. And it's like, in terms of how podcasting goes, and it's like, you know, I know for me, I mean, it's not just about talking about movies. It's about talking about myself, talking about things that interest me, just enjoying conversations that I have about movies. I mean, you know, this is part of the reason. It's part of the reason why I want you back on the podcast because of the fact, I mean, we've always enjoyed talking about movies together, even when we're at each other's throats talking about movies together.
I'm sorry, I'm just...
And the original Spider-Man, if you remember that commentary.
Yeah. First Spider-Man is kind of growing on me, but like, you'll never hear me say a nice thing about Last Jedi.
Yeah, I know.
Like they touch on the sequel trilogy very and Mandalorian and Clerks 3
a little bit.
Oh, and who's the actress that plays the doctor who saves Randall who's also in Mandalorian?
Oh God, I gotta look it up.
See, the fact that I don't remember, I don't know, Brian. Is, you know, but you not knowing that, you being the human IMDb that you are.
I mean, Perv is because I've only seen Clerks, Clerks 3 once at this point.
She's,
but,
what is the actress's name? Because she's awesome in Clerks 3. She's awesome in, well, I mean, like, her character isn't as loved in Mandalorian, but yeah. What's her name, Brian?
Oh, Amy Sedaris.
Amy Sedaris.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Amy Sedaris.
I like that little bit of meta-ness, that little bit of meta with, you know, her not being familiar with, you know, Star Wars and Marvel and everything, and like, but she's also a big part of the Star, on Mandalorian. I did like that.
Well, and I mean, I like that, you know, I like that you had, and going to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where you had Carrie Fisher and Mark... Yeah. Mark Hamill was very much playing up his, I mean, it's like, look, it's Mark Hamill.
Applause.
And he's got a sort of lightsaber.
Yeah.
You know, a copyright appropriate lightsaber. And Carrie Fisher's just not in any way, shape, or form playing that type of character at all.
No.
But works for both of those actors.
Don't fuck with the Jedi Masters.
But, no, I mean, I, you know, the fact of the matter is, I just have always, I've always enjoyed, I, you know, is, I can't say I've always enjoyed Kevin Smith's films, but
yeah.
As I've warmed to them, I appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate what he, I appreciate what he's brought to my life. I appreciate the opportunities I've had because of this, whether it's podcasting, whether it's cosplaying, mm-hmm. which is something I never really would have considered before that. It's just been, you know, it's been a big, I mean, that's, again, that is a big part of why I wanted to have you on to have this discussion. It's like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had this discussion if it wasn't you being part of it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful we've been able to have this conversation.
Yeah. Well, likewise.
Yeah.
Likewise. I'm not sure if I have anything to say that is eloquent or, you know, but yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you, and I'm appreciative of what it's done for our friendship. And,
yeah.
And you know, all the ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know.
No, and the thing is, it's like, you know, watching, it's funny because of the fact, I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about when we were talking about Jay and Silent Bob, how that very much feels representative of our dynamics mm-hmm. in terms of you gang us together, it's very much our dynamics, but I mean, I also, especially watching Clerks 3, I also couldn't help but see a little bit of us in Dante and Randall as well.
Sure, sure.
And, I mean, I think that is one of the things that makes these characters so endearing is the fact that it's like...
They
feel like real people.
Yeah.
And it's like, even... Yeah, he did a cartoon.
Even in the exaggerated moments, even in the moments that are exaggerated and, like, in the cartoon, there's an organicness to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And it's just... It's great. And I mean, I'm glad that it's been great to have you back on the podcast. It's great to finally have you back on the podcast. I'm glad we're at a point where we're able to have a discussion like this.
Mm-hmm.
And
in my very own place.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Boy apartment.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about the
clerks? I don't feel like I do.
Yeah.
Again, I've enjoyed the conversation, and I'll be interested in hearing what some of our friends think of this episode.
Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to listening to it myself.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you having me again.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's truly a pleasure. And again, this I've had this conversation in mind for us for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I brought it up to you months ago.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that I knew I did want to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know anybody else I would have this conversation with.
Oh, wow.
Because of the fact that it's like,
what? When did the movie come out in 94? What month?
Like, it was around, I think it was October, September, October. Okay. I know it played at Sundance.
Okay.
That's when Miramax bought it.
Okay.
And then, but yeah, it was like September or October.
Yeah, so right.
And we're right around 30th anniversary.
Yep.
But because October tends to be my horror month, we're doing this in September.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do want to thank Ron for joining me on the podcast. As always, thank you very much to my listeners, however you listen to podcasts, whether it's YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, whatever podcaster you listen to, like, subscribe, rate, and review, share it. It's always appreciated. And check me out at patreon.com/songcinema. I've got, like I said, October is my horror month. Again, I have Phil Faso back on. Again, talks about some horror from some different point of view. going to talk about some films I've seen before and some films I haven't seen before. And check me out, patreon.com/sonicsinema. All my socials are listed on the site. But that site is, as always, www.sonic-cinema.com. Thank you very much.